All right, take your Bibles and turn to James chapter 2. We'll be in James 2 today in our sermon time. It was a great weekend. We had our leadership retreat out at the Christian Renewal Center, which is, you go to Silver Falls and you kind of take a right and go up, and there's this great little Christian Renewal Center there that I didn't even know about, and it's a great place. And so all the elders, the two ministers, and the new deacons, and everybody were there. There was a lot of praying. There was a lot of reflection. There was even some tears. There was some bonding. And there was a lot of concern for you and thinking about you. Actually, we had this game that we played at first where the directory, there were photocopies of the directory with no names under the names of the pictures, or under the pictures. And we sat around and tried to see who could get the most names, right? And that was a lot of fun. And I don't remember who won, me, but anyway, I guess I do remember. But that's kind of my job, right? So, hey, that wasn't really fair. So they threw me out and threw out the elders and the deacons. They got to get some candy based on their place in the order. But it was a lot of fun. But there was a lot of great things happening. Guys, there's a new day in the leadership of our church. It really is. And so be prayerful for these new guys and as they are figuring out what they're going to be doing and figuring out their way of serving. One of the great things there is this group is developing as a band of brothers to work together and grow together spiritually as they serve the church. And so it's an exciting day. So keep that in your prayers. One of the funny things that I reflected on yesterday was, we were staying way up at the top of the camp. And so to get our meals, we had to go all the way down to the camp. It was probably a half a mile, I don't know, down this bumpy, you know, road. And so it was a little too far to walk. Some of them walked. You can find out who it was that walked. But most of us said, nah, I'm not walking. And so Don Bodeman's Toyota pickup probably needs new suspension at this point. And I've got a great picture. I'll probably post it on the website this week. It shows like eight deacons and two elders and minister on the back of this Toyota 4Runner and then pickup. And as Don goes down the dirt road, I guess he forgot we were back there, right? Because I mean, it was like this, and we're thinking, okay, if this truck goes off the cliff, the leadership of the Kaiser Church, it would be interesting. So anyway, it was a lot of fun, but we had a good time. It was a good experience. All right, so James chapter 2, 1 through 13 is where we're at today. And as you remember, we're in a series on the book of James, which is a great book. It's theological, it's practical, and it's just a good place to return from time to time just to kind of get our bearings straight and get some perspective on how we're supposed to live. And that was what I talked about a couple weeks ago, that James is filled with practical wisdom. And practical wisdom is gaining perspective on life. Perspective on life, perspective on faith, perspective on your family, perspective on the value of money, perspective on the value of relationships. It's just about perspective. And James provides us with that a lot throughout his book. And so that's what we're doing this summer. We're looking through the book of James. And this morning we're looking at chapter 2. So let's read chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing gold rings and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and if you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, you sit here in a good place, while you say to the poor man, you stand over there, or sit down at my feet, have you not then made distinctions amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He has promised to those who love Him? But you dishonored the poor man. Are not the rich the ones who oppress you? And the ones who drag you into court, are they not the ones who blaspheme the honorable name by which you were called? Now, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For he who said, "Do not commit adultery," also said, "Do not murder." And if you do not commit adultery, but you do murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty. For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Let us pray. Our God, we come before you this morning. We have the word open before us. And I pray that you will come and help us to understand it and apply it to our lives. I want to also pray, Father, earnestly for the men who are taking up the mantle of servant leadership in this church as deacons, that you bless them, that you take away their fears, take away any sense of self-doubt, and I pray that as they serve, they truly will have that full assurance that comes with good service in the kingdom, that you'll help the congregation to be gentle and understanding as they feel their way through this new role, and that we will be supportive of them and encouraging to them and understanding. So help us, Lord, in this new day, and help us today as we look at this scripture. It's in Christ that I pray. Amen. This is a great little window into first century church life. James, the brother of Jesus, writing this general epistle, makes this general statement about partiality, and he gives an example from our assembly. You know, the churches all over the Mediterranean, wherever this little letter went, and remember, it wasn't written just to one little church, it was to the 12 tribes. It's spread out all over the place. And so he has to be general. But evidently he knows enough about the way things work in church and the way things work in society to say this is a very real kind of thing that might happen. That even amongst the church of the living God, even amongst the church, the people who are supposed to not be focused on external worldly things, partiality can creep in. And so he says, "My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory." He uses this exalted language to refer to Jesus. And he says, you can't hold on to faith in this exalted Lord Jesus, the Lord of glory, and then in your other heart or your other hand, so to speak, you have a spirit of partiality. In the same way that John says in 1 John chapter 4 that you can't love God and hate your neighbor. Those two don't go together. James is good at saying that you just can't do this and do this at the same time. They're inconsistent. You can't have this spirit of partiality, which literally means to lift up the face of someone else and show another person honor over another. Specifically in reference to partiality to the poor over the rich, or the rich over the poor, as Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15 says. And so he provides us with a typical scenario, the kind of thing that could happen. Two visitors come in. You can just imagine the one guy walking in with his robes. And by the way, in the modern world, we don't ever show off our wealth by our clothing, do we? We never do that. Okay, well, we don't. But in the ancient world, they did. I mean, that's what you did. You showed off your wealth. If you've got it, you flaunt it. If you've got, you wear your rings. And it was a common thing at the time for men, especially, to be like Liberace. Remember Liberace? Remember that guy? Growing up as a kid, watching him play the piano, I was always amazed. How did he do that with all those rings on his fingers? And that was a common thing. There was one finger you didn't wear a ring on, but if you could, you filled up the rest of your fingers with rings. And so James refers to this. Guy's got a gold ring on. Lots of them. And he's got this splendid clothing, right? The word that's used there is used of like bright, shiny clothing. You can imagine looking like a disco ball. That's kind of the one that I have in mind. And people would wear clothing like that to show off their wealth. So this guy comes in and everybody kind of, hey. Here, come sit up here, right? And then in walks this other fella. He's shabby. He's shopped at Walmart 10 years ago, and he's still wearing the same t-shirt because that's what he's got. And you kind of say, oh, well, there's, go over there. Can you imagine something like that happening? I can. Because that's the way of the world. That is the way of the world. The world shows this priority to those who have external wealth. The way of the world is to show partiality and show favor to those who have evidently succeeded. Why? Well, because we think they deserve more, right? How dare they sit in a bad spot when obviously they are important. The evil motives he talks about later on might have been that you're not just seating them there because it's the right thing to do, but because you're expecting that, hey, I can curry favor with this person and they might be able to, some of that bling might come my way. That is the way of the world. And so James says, you can't do this. You cannot hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ in one hand and partiality in the other. As the world does. You have judged a book by its cover. You have become a judge with evil thoughts and evil motives. And whether or not this is a real scenario or just a test case, it's not hard to imagine that this could actually happen. This is the oldest prejudice in society. The preference of the rich over the poor. This is the way of the world. But brothers and sisters, this is not the way of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God has a completely different set of values that drive what we value in people. And that's why he says you can't hold your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has come to launch a new kind of kingdom. He brought a kingdom that is of God, that has a different understanding, different perspective on wealth, different perspective on the value of people. You can't say you've got that perspective and then do this kind of thing to the poor. And there's several reasons that he gives for why we can't do this. He says in verses 5 through 11, listen, my beloved brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom, which he had promised to those who love him? God cares about the richness of faith, not about the richness of people's bank account. And it was largely the poor in society that were attracted to Christianity and who followed Christ. The early church was mainly made up of the poor. We have external documents that point out that about the early church and that it was made up of slaves and people who didn't have much in this world. Yes, there were some wealthy people. You can look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and see that Paul tells them, listen, you need to make sure you don't put trust in your wealth. And if you've got it, use it for God. And that's good. There's nothing wrong with being wealthy. But the vast majority of the people who responded were those who didn't have much in this world. Those who are rich in faith, not money, those are the ones who are the heirs of God's kingdom. And on top of that, there's a practical reason why you shouldn't treat the rich with great preference. They're the ones that do bad things to you, right? I mean, why honor the people who are dragging you off to court and oppressing you? Does that make any sense? He comes back to this, by the way, in James chapter 5. We'll get to that toward the end of the summer. And he talks about their oppression of the hired hands, the hired workers. And evidently, I mean, you could imagine that the same person who has all the bling, when he goes home later that week, he's going to be taking some people to court and suing them because of debts that they may have or whatever. And so why would you honor them when they're doing this to you? And finally, he says that favoritism simply does not match up with the kingdom of God. He says in verse 8, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing well. But if you show partiality, verse 9, you are committing sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. See, favoritism doesn't match up with the kingdom of God. The royal law is to love your neighbor as yourself. So you can't even hold on to that law, that royal law, and the rest of the law and not love your neighbor. Showing partiality is committing sin and becoming a transgressor because you are not imitating God and His impartiality. You see, the consistent message of the Bible and specifically the New Testament is God does not play favors. Take a look at Acts chapter 10 really quickly. Acts chapter 10. This is the story of the conversion of Cornelius. We have just a quick reference to God's nature that He doesn't show favoritism. Peter comes to a realization of this after he sees the fact that Cornelius is a godly man. God has called him to Him. He says in verse 34, chapter 10, verse 34, so Peter opened his mouth and said, truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears Him and does what is right is acceptable to Him. We see this in Romans chapter 2, verses 11. God doesn't play favorites. Chapter 2, verse 11. But glory and honor, verse 10, and peace for everyone who does good, the Jew first and also the Greek, for God shows no partiality. You could look at Ephesians chapter 6 and Colossians chapter 3, where you're even talking to masters, the way that you treat your slaves, treat them well because God doesn't show partiality. Slaves, treat your believing master with respect. Don't think that you don't have to honor him because, well, he's a believer too. No, because God doesn't show partiality. It works both directions. What God called for in Leviticus 19 with loving your neighbor is simply what His whole heart was about. So when we treat people with disrespect and dishonor simply because they're poor and show honor and respect to others simply because they are rich, we are thinking evil thoughts and practicing sin. We are transgressors. So, brothers and sisters, James is pointing us towards some basic truths about God and what that looks like in the community of faith. But this is one of those things that as we are being transformed, as we are being changed into the image of Christ, can be so difficult, right? I mean, because we live in a world that bombards us all the time with the idea that those who are rich and famous are more important. I mean, those are the people we want to be around. Those are the people that we want to be close to. And we kind of have this image that we are going to value them more. We have this idea that are ingrained in us. Also, other kinds of prejudices that we could talk about. This is specifically talking about wealth. But I think James's teaching here applies to other kinds of prejudices that we have as well. I mean, Wednesday was a pretty big reminder that racism is still a huge problem in our society. You know, sometimes we may think, well, the civil rights movement, that was a long time ago. It's kind of gotten taken care of and all this kind of thing. Well, you know what? There are still people out there who walk into a church building and sit there and study the Bible with them for an hour and then open up and shoot and kill 9 of them because they're black. And we think that's horrible, and that's wrong, and it is, and it should be shocking to us, but James and this whole incident makes us think, well, is there any of that in my heart? Even just a little bit. If there is, it has to be rooted out. Remember, God is creating a kingdom that is not about this country or that country or this race or that race. He is bringing together a people from every nation into one kingdom. That's what we are all under, this new royal law. And so this part of James causes us to reflect on our partiality and to get rid of it and root it out and not hold on to it. Not think that, well, I'm good in a lot of other areas, but hey, I've got some of these inherent prejudices that are still there. You know, whatever. No, root those out. Work on those things. Make sure that our minds are being shaped by the kingdom principles of Jesus and not by the way of the world. So the message, I think, for us this morning is that clearly we need to refuse to show favoritism to those that the world says are more important. And be vigilant to not allow the ways of the world to affect the way that we look at people and their value and their worth and their status before God. We've got to constantly evaluate our decision making, our ways of making decisions, to make sure that we are not basing them on some kind of worldly perspective of favoritism. James challenges us to look at people through God's eyes and with God's values. To realize that this world and its values, its emphasis upon wealth is passing away. I mean, it really is ridiculous to think about it. I mean, you guys have heard the old joke, right? The guy that wants to take all of his money with him. And so he finds a way somehow to take all of his gold with him. And when he shows up, he's got a big bag full of gold. And what does St. Peter say, according to the joke? Oh, you brought pavement. All right, remember? Okay, the streets are paved with gold, right? The old joke is, I mean, it's really true. I mean, do we really think that God cares how much money you have in your bank account? Do you really care? Do you really think God cares? He can go like that and create more of it. It doesn't matter to Him. It's faith that matters to Him. It's trust in Him. It's following His kingdom that matters. And so people that have a kingdom perspective see things that way. And we need to work at having that kind of perspective. There will be no questionnaire on your way to heaven about how much money you made. You won't have to show your passport. Americans over here and other groups over here, Russians over there. I mean, that's not the kingdom. There certainly won't be any racial questions. Instead, God is forming a kingdom from every tribe and language and people and nation to be a kingdom and priest for our God. And the law of that kingdom, the royal law, is to love your neighbor as yourself. And it starts with showing no favoritism. So this morning, brothers and sisters, think about your life. Think about ways that you may be preferencing one group over another. Repent of that and instead embrace the royal law, the law of the kingdom. Let's pray. God, we thank You for this word from You. And Lord, we confess that there are often times when we fall back into the ways of the worldly thinking, whether it's about money or about racial issues or class or citizenship. We fall back into those things. Please forgive us, God, and please draw us back to understanding Your values. And may we truly be impartial to every person and see their value as someone that You want in the kingdom. And to put no hurdles in front of them from coming to know Your Son and having a saving relationship with Him. I also, Father, want to pause and just pray for the community in Charleston, for that church that a week ago today they were worshiping together and their minister was there preaching, and a week later he's dead and eight others are dead and they're mourning a great loss. I pray You give comfort to that community. Give comfort to them to know that this life is not all that there is, and that those people have gone on to their reward. And I pray, God, that even through this great trial, this great sinful, wicked act, that there will be a great glory given to You through this, whether it's through reconciliation or whether it's from people rooting out racism in their own heart and mind, or what, I don't know, but may You be glorified somehow through this tragedy, and may those nine lives have been lost for some greater purpose that you work out in that community. So please bless the families that are hurting right now in that area. We love you, Lord. It's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.